Good afternoon.
Hi, Life.
And how have you been proceeding?
Very, very well. Lots of interesting experience. Like to go over a few things that have occurred. And, you know, generally, for the most part, things have been going very well. I created a free vacation recently for the family. I've also created an old, not even colleague, someone that I knew from years ago calling me up about a job opportunity.
Oh.
Yeah, and so I've been interviewing there a few times, and that process is still ongoing.
But now, are you interested in this job opportunity?
Very.
Excellent.
But it was great. Even no matter what happens with it, it was great confirmation, again, to do that again, where I've talked to you before about how I really like that when I get calls for job opportunities rather than looking for opportunities. And this was someone that I had helped them maybe 4 or 5 years ago when they were searching for a job. And so they just remembered me when they had an opportunity at their company that they thought I would be interested in.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you. So we'll probably talk a little bit more about that and maybe about the proper attitude to maintain here. But before I go into that, I did have a mountain biking accident recently, just about four weeks ago, in which I did break my nose and some of the bones of my face and basically bruised up a lot of the portions of my body, particularly my one leg. And I'm recovering very well. I had stitches in the face. They've been removed. And everything's healing up very nicely. And my sense for the reason for the accident is that it relates to the pushing that I was doing while biking, which is more recent. If I compare how I bike compared to like skiing, I've been skiing for 20 years, I don't look to do more and more every time I go skiing. I just look to enjoy myself. Where for biking, which is newer for me, every time I was going, I was looking to go faster than I did previously and hit higher jumps.
Now, that in itself is not necessarily what might create that type of situation, because moving in directions in which you are, in a manner of speaking, pushing yourself to do more or to achieve more is not necessarily the type of pushing that would create some type of experience such as that. But if you are moving in that direction and doing that type of pushing and not necessarily paying attention to what you are doing in the moment, you are more focused on the goal, then you can generate that type of experience.
It reminded me, the experience reminded me of something I discussed with you a long time ago or a while ago when I was first getting into biking, and I would get nervous or fearful at certain parts, and I was using presence exercises to help address the fear, and
yeah.
I would have very good experiences, but I no longer get scared at all mountain biking, and so I really haven't been, you know, trying to be present at all while biking.
But especially when that is a subject that you are very much entertaining and practicing and focusing on, being present, then that becomes emphasized, and therefore, when you are generating some type of action in which you might be pushing yourself to do more, and that in itself would not necessarily be, in your terms, bad, but the combination of that and not being present and focusing on the outcome rather than what you are doing in the process can very easily lead you in to one of those types of experiences. It is perhaps a painful or uncomfortable experience, but it also can be considerably valuable as an example.
Yes, and that's why I don't necessarily regret it, because I feel much more of a renewed sense of appreciation for being healthy, or for wanting that to continue. Meaning, it was when you're so uncomfortable after that experience, it just you recognize the value and how good it is to actually feel normal and healthy.
yes, and to value what you have.
Right.
Congratulations.
Thanks. but it's definitely renewed my interest in addressing some, just maintaining better fitness levels, doing things to address blood pressure, stuff like that.
Excellent.
The work environment here seems to be going better. It is going better, I will say. And my own experience has certainly gotten a lot better from a presence and a more comfortable point of view. The comments you provided a couple of sessions ago and the feedback that you provided me of what I was doing related to being concerned about work or concerned that I'm not doing enough or I'm too distracted, you gave very specific examples of energy that I was expressing or had been expressing.
Yes.
And so I have been working with that to notice that and to apply the opposite.
And generate different choices, which right. is excellent. And in that, what are you noticing?
Well, the environment is changed as well. In other words, it's hard to explain, but where previously it looked like the firm's commitment to the area that I work in was at risk, that is no longer the case because they've made actually additional investments in that area. In addition, my own relationship with my boss hasn't changed, but there's no longer the sense that where I was previously thinking or previously perceiving that my job was at imminent risk.
And that generates a significant difference.
And it gives me the opportunity now as I get into this to see that, like, let's say I don't know what's going to happen with this interview, but I can use these skills to continue to make the job that I'm currently in more satisfying, more enjoyable, more comfortable.
Precisely, and that also, once again, is a matter of appreciating what you have, and when you do that, you create more of it. Therefore, by allowing yourself to move in a direction of being more satisfied with what you have and what you are doing now creates the foundation to allow you to create that other job in a satisfying and more appealing manner for you. And let me also express one other point. Because this piece is more difficult for most individuals to see or to actually accept.
Okay.
But you were expressing that the company changed, and that has added to your sense of feeling less at risk, feeling safer. Let me express to you that it is not that the company changed and that provides you with a feeling of more stability. Mm-hmm. It is you were moving in a particular direction, and because you were moving in a particular direction and changing yourself with your reality, you also then connect in energy with other individuals in the company that are moving in a direction of change also. And that connection, and you don't have to objectively be interactive or physically doing anything in that capacity, but because you are moving in a particular direction, your energy automatically seeks out other energies that are similar. You always do this. You always do this. But in doing that, your energy connected with other individuals that were in a direction of change, and the combination of energy, which you directly were participating in, therefore you were changing the company and its direction also. And then you see the company change directions, generate a different choice that you see as directly influencing how you feel and how you respond. And in that, the one piece you aren't seeing is when you change you, you change your reality. You actually change your physical reality in different capacities. Therefore, when you say that the company changed and that aided in you feeling more secure or more safe, it did, because you changed it. And that was your validation, and that helped you to feel safer and more secure through that validation. But you did that.
That's great. The other effect of the changes were that those changes were made at a higher level than my direct boss. so that she was not aware of the increased investments that the firm was making. But it helps me somewhat, to a degree, reduce the level of importance that I have been placing on her.
Yes. Because in that, you were generating the perception that she is a direct supervisor of you, and therefore she has the power, but she didn't have the power. You changed your energy, which bypassed her and connected with other energies that actually were in a position to be generating choices that were actually in keeping with what you wanted.
Right. And it's also a good example of where I would previously, and probably still too, focus on, you know, thinking my energy is going to change another person's decisions, but you don't need that to necessarily create what you want.
Correct. Precisely. Yes, you are correct. It is not about changing another individual's perception or their choices, but about recognizing what actually happens and the principles of creating your reality. Whether you are aware of it or not, you are doing it. And in that, the same action occurs regardless of whether you are aware of it or not. You are always projecting energy, and your energy is always seeking out what matches it. Therefore, your energy was being projected and seeking out other energies that matched with your energy, and then combining them, it gives them strength and it changes something.
So following up on this is another question that I wanted to go into, and this relates to other channeled material, which I'm fairly certain this is laid out correctly. This is all good information based on our previous conversations. But I do want to confirm it, and I think the information by itself is great, but if you miss the aspects of presence and paying attention to what you're doing, you would not be able to implement it, except in thought. But now that we are adding those components of presence and paying attention to what we're doing, it is laid out in a very clear way that is empowering, again, if you can implement it. And so the other channel talks about basically in every moment you are deciding or choosing who you are, who and what you are, by the belief that is obviously influencing your perception, you know, then leading obviously to thoughts and feelings and actions. And it is the idea that each moment, and I guess this would tie in with your energy expression, although this is not what the other channel talks about, but the energy we are projected is related to I am this or I am that. And you can be very specific about that. And as long as you maintain that posture, maintain that belief followed by action, that will become evident in your reality.
I would agree. Yes.
Okay.
Because, as I have expressed previously, there's a difference between beliefs and what you believe. Beliefs, contrary to what you think,
okay,
are neutral. It is the constructs that you create around them that generate them being positive or negative, good or bad, comfortable, uncomfortable, successful, unsuccessful. That is all associated with the constructs. The beliefs in themselves are neutral. They are merely the foundation of your physical reality. But what you believe is different, because what you believe is what you trust. And that is not an expression of only good. You believe many things.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are not good. Some of them are negative. That doesn't mean you don't believe them. In that, what you believe, you trust. And what you trust, you make happen. Or you make manifest. Because you trust it.
And when you trust it, that's what guides your actions.
Yes.
So what you're doing is a reflection of what you trust.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
If you trust that every dog that you encounter would potentially bite you, it will very strongly influence your behavior and your choices, because you believe that particular type of animal is unpredictable or untrustworthy. Therefore, because you trust that, you don't question it, and it very much influences your behavior and your choices. You will likely avoid every dog that you encounter. You will likely never have a dog as a companion. You will likely avoid engaging significant relationships with other individuals that have a dog as a companion, unless you can only have a relationship with them outside of their home. It will affect your behavior and your choices in many, many capacities that you wouldn't necessarily think about.
Is that it?
Yes, you are correct. What you believe, and especially what you believe about yourself, directly influences what you create.
The analogy, or the dog example that you gave, which clearly does not apply to me, is that an analogy to something else in my life? That
Now, think about it. What would you assess in your life that you believe and therefore influences, and this could move in many different directions, influences your behavior in very definite manners.
Well, that would be everything.
I would agree, but in that, what could you express, let us say, as something you think of as positive that actually could have other implications, but you believe it is positive and it influences what you do
and
how you
money.
Behave. We were just discussing that in relation to your biking. Health. And what is healthy? And exercising. And how that influences your behavior. Now, in that, I would express that because you believe that exercise is important,
right,
to be healthy. If those individuals that are close to you, your children or your partner or family members, if they are inactive, it likely would be bothersome to you.
Or it would at least create reactions where I'd be expressing dissatisfaction or
opposing
energy.
Yes. And beyond that, it affects your behavior in directions that you perceive to be fun. You will plan vacations that involve activity.
Right.
Whether or not the other individuals want to participate in that activity.
That's always a always an ongoing discussion.
Because you won't necessarily think about it. That is what you believe, and it influences your behavior and your choices. And your choices and your behavior involve and affect and influence other individuals. But you don't necessarily think about that.
No. Okay.
I would express, even in insidious manners, such as at work, if you hypothetically were participating at work and one of your coworkers or your boss were individuals that don't engage any physical activity per se, it would color your perception of them. You would not necessarily think about it. You would find other reasons to attach to why you don't get on with that individual as easily, or why you have difficulties.
Now, we're using the example of physical activity. I'm no gym rat, so to speak, so I would think that there would also be other believing or
I'm merely using one example.
Right, right.
And expressing to you how it is more far-reaching than you realize.
Okay.
Therefore, yes, agreeing with what you expressed in relation to other material that you have connected with, and that, yes, what you believe is very affecting and influencing and creates very much how you create your reality.
Well, if I was thinking about this related to, like, a new job, and
yes.
I would say, okay, I have decided that I will adopt this belief that I have a new and interesting job that will be starting. And that I can make that statement right, and then I can use that to watch my behavior.
Yes.
And what I'm doing to see if it is consistent with that.
Yes.
And if I'm worrying about my present job, then it's not consistent with someone that has a new job.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. That's the main point of that takeaway. Because I could go with, you could apply that then to anything, but the question is you have to continue to maintain that, and that's the ongoing work.
Yes. Yes. And be aware.
Okay. That's awesome. The first question is, or another question here is, when you use the word bodhisattva, what
yes.
is your definition of it?
An individual that I would identify as a bodhisattva, it does not necessarily mean that that individual is outwardly continuously interactive with other individuals. They may be, or they may not be. It is not what the individual is doing. It is the type of energy that they express naturally, and that they continue to develop. And that is an energy of expanding, nurturing, and encouraging. And that is achieved most successfully by being the example. Not intending to be the example, but merely being the example by continuously moving in a genuine direction, expanding, and allowing that natural flow of energy in relation to those qualities. And I would express that you have those qualities and that you do express that energy and you are continuously developing it. That is the piece that defines an individual that would be in that classification, so to speak, of a bodhisattva is that they are continuously developing that. They are continuously expanding and continuously developing with themselves. And let me express to you, I am aware that it is very easy and automatic to think or even to express that everyone does that. No, everyone doesn't do that.
Okay.
Everyone is always expanding. No, everyone isn't always expanding. Everyone is not always becoming more self-aware. That is a specific type of expansion. Does everyone expand in some capacity because they are consciousness and mm-hmm. they are essence? Yes. But in your physical reality, does everyone expand their self-awareness? No. Does everyone expand, period, individually in any particular focus? No. They do in general as essence, because every experience that you have adds to your expansion as essence. But does that mean that the individual person in your physical reality as a human is necessarily expanding in awareness or self-awareness? No, not necessarily.
Okay. I've noticed more recently that I'm a lot less, I guess the word would be, bothered by or even interested in the fact that other people have other beliefs or beliefs that are different.
Congratulations. That is another step in self-awareness. That is another step in that expansion of self-awareness.
And it's curious because as I develop a little bit of space with that, it's amazing how much conflict is driven by the fact that people don't like that other people believe differently than what they believe. I know it's a broad statement, but it just, I don't know.
Oh, I would very much agree. It is a tremendous factor in relation to conflict.
Yeah. A question about another session that was shared a while back. And somebody was asking about the experience of, in their terms, was the ego falling away. And what you explained was that it was the experience of the constructs falling away.
Correct.
That led to the experience of increased freedom.
Correct.
And is that just what we're doing here, or are we talking about something else?
That very much is what you are doing. That is not all you are doing, but that is a very significant piece. I will express once again, you do not eliminate beliefs. They are the foundation of your reality. But you can move in a direction of dispelling, disbanding, and even eliminating constructs they are not the foundation of your reality. They are all of the explanations.
Right.
All the reasons for and about.
And so then the next question was, well, how do you do that? And I assume the answer is by being present.
By being present, by shifting your perception in relation to importance, reevaluating. When you redefine your reality. And this, it is a matter of, yes, as you become more present, then it is also a matter of continuously developing in expanding your self-awareness and therefore evaluating or reevaluating what is important and why.
Mm-hmm. And where are you giving and watching what you're making important?
Precisely. And let me express to you that as you expand your awareness, you will begin to come to a realization that if a subject is important and it has a why, then it likely isn't.
Okay, I'll explore that at some point.
That will be a tremendous indicator of your expansion and your self-awareness in asking yourself that question, is this important and why? And if it still has why, then you know that you are continuing to express that attachment to those constructs.
And that would be, I assume, the why you would be doing anything that is not simply because you want to? Or?
Yes. Or even if you want to, you will eventually move to a point where you will realize in your awareness that importance doesn't have to have a why.
Right.
It is important because it genuinely is important because it is, not because of anything, not including a why.
Right. Okay. Okay. Wanted to ask you a slightly different question, which I've been playing around with, is in another session someone had, you had recommended the practice of intentionally breathing naturally.
Yes.
And so I've been doing that a little bit, and just wanted to see if you could maybe discuss what the benefits are. I don't recall what was said in the other session or what it was for, but perhaps the benefits of, you know, doing that for myself.
I would express that the benefit for doing that for you are considerable. First of all, it alleviates tension.
Mm-hmm.
It also encourages different aspects of your body consciousness to function more naturally. It aids in regulating different functions of the body. And that, I would express that it is not merely about oxygenating
mm-hmm.
body correctly. It is more than that. For when you are breathing properly, you create a balance in your body. And that encourages every part of your body to align in a balanced manner. It encourages your bones to position themselves more naturally. Therefore, it affects your posture. It encourages your organs to function more naturally. It encourages your systems, such as your digestive system, your circulatory system, your nervous system. It encourages them to flow consistently rather than generating stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. Which, for you, would aid in blood pressure. It would aid in digestion. It would aid in relation to your spine. And
yes, I have noticed that it definitely has a very beneficial impact on that.
Yes. Therefore, there are many different expressions with the body consciousness that it will be helpful because it encourages balance.
And how much or how frequently would you recommend this? And I'm talking about where basically that's all I'm doing for that period of time.
I would express that it would be beneficial to engage that action intentionally, perhaps 2 to 3 times per day. I would definitely encourage it in a capacity to be practicing it until it becomes natural.
Okay. And then for the actual time period for the I've been playing around with it. I played it around for around 15 minutes to occasionally 30 minutes.
I would express that is excellent. It is not necessary to engage it for considerably lengthy time framework. I would say that is an excellent time framework. Between 15 and 30 minutes is excellent.
Okay.
And if you are in a position in which you can't, or you perceive you can't, devote that much time to it, it would be beneficial regardless even if you were doing it for 10.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes it's not as easy as others.
Yeah.
Or I perceive
or
it
not
as
being
convenient.
It either.
Not as convenient. And that's, I was reading a book the other day in which it was written about presence and the author's experience in developing the presence, and he loved to formalize everything into very specific activities you do for this length of time and do this 1 week and then this the following week into a 10-week, you know, people love to build programs and methods. But his primary method of developing presence was intentionally breathing. He did have some mantras or affirmations thrown in there as well, but you know, that was how before he started building a program, I think the way he developed his experiences with presence was predominantly, or at least started predominantly, through this breathing naturally.
Excellent.
And
you are following that practice?
I just confirming that makes sense, that you know, anytime for example, what I've noticed afterward is that the thinking activity is a lot quieter and calmer. And so that by itself obviously helps being present.
Yes.
Okay.
I would definitely agree.
So one of the other things that I've been doing along with this recently is using enough, but a little bit differently than I had been previously, more specific to when I notice that I'm discounting or making an assessment of not enough.
Very well.
And the idea is, like, let's say if I ask myself, what do I want that I feel like I don't have? And I can make a list of things. And
yes.
A lot of these areas I have, let's call it my relationship with that subject is based on a sense of lack or not enough. Okay. Go ahead.
I would agree.
Okay. And so, and these are topics that would often be, you know, things that I find important or for whatever reason, is, you know, applying that enough specifically to when I am doing that assessment of not enough. So basically changing the energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I have a vague feeling like right where I am right now, this moment. Like there's a little bit of a struggle between, like, I want to ask about certain things, but I sense that the energy behind that asking is actually what is creating that issue. Meaning, if I'm dissatisfied with something and I choose to ask you about it, I've just answered my own question.
Congratulations.
And so then I know what to do. If I know I want to ask you about it because I'm dissatisfied with, I just answered exactly what I need to do.
If you pay attention.
If I pay attention.
Yes, you are correct.